Welcome to the Nonprofit Exchange Podcast, stories by leaders for leaders to help you raise the bar on your own excellence to release the potential inside of you. Now, here's today's podcast. Welcome to the Nonprofit Exchange. This is Hugh Ballew, founder and president of Center Vision Leadership Foundation, along with our board chair and co-host of the Nonprofit Exchange, David Dunworth. So we're here with episode 392 over the last 9 years of really great interviews with leaders, getting tools and strategies for your success. So sit back and take notes. The notes will be on the page, the Nonprofit Exchange, THE, nonprofitexchange.org. And you can find this episode, The Secrets to Increasing Your Nonprofit Strength and Sustainability. Our guest today is Jennifer Drago. And Jennifer, tell us a little bit about who you are and your background and why you do this important work.
Sure. Well, I have worked in nonprofit organizations for over 30 years. As I've worked in the strategy area of healthcare and senior living organizations predominantly. And so in that arena, I've worked on strategic plans and new program plans, feasibility analyses. And so I'm really passionate about strategic planning, how you do it, when you do it, why it's important. And what I do now is I'm a consultant to nonprofit organizations. And I still work a lot on strategic planning and sometimes on program planning and new startups. But what I really love to do also is help those nonprofits strengthen their board structures and processes, so their governance structures, because that is definitely a key to their success.
Now, there's a lot of modules, a lot of different moving parts to this, but as we talked a little bit before we went live with this interview. And as a conductor, I got to have the score for everybody to know where to go. It's an engagement tool. And we forget that. And I get a lot of excuses from leaders saying, no, I don't have time to do that. Or no, that's going to limit my creativity. When I say, okay, A, it's going to save you time. It's going to engage people. And it's going to be a container. So your creative energy is spent on actually doing it, not figuring out what to do. So I'm sure we get a lot of excuses, but it's the backbone of the organization. It helps you be fundable. There's so many good reasons. So we're on the same, little did you know that we're on the same page so much of this. So you talk about vision directed strategic planning and how does it, your organization gain clarity and how is it a board engagement activity?
Oh, that's great. Well, so one of the key responsibilities of your board members is to provide strategic oversight. And so your board absolutely has to be involved in your strategic plan. In fact, they should lead the strategic plan together with the chief executive. And lots of nonprofits, I think, don't always understand that. And sometimes the staff will get together and write the strategic plan and bring it to the board and say, hey, what do you think? Well, one of the reasons that you put together a board and you have a board is they're the representative of the community that you serve, and they should be diverse in their age and skill set and experience, and of course, race and ethnicity, but they're providing all of that magic into creating that strategic plan. So, you know, that maybe answers part of the question about why or how your strategic plan is important in providing that direction. And one of the things that I have learned over the course of my career, so I've been doing strategic planning for over 30 years, and we used to, in the olden days, first of all, we used to do 10-year strategic plans. And I worked in healthcare at that time in hospital systems. And it went from 10 years to 5 years to 3 years, and 3 year strategic plans, because the world is changing rapidly, right? And when in the old days when I started, we used to start with let's reaffirm our mission and let's look at our vision, and then we'll start crafting our strategic plan. What I learned over the years and from some really smart strategic planners is that when you start with your vision first, and not just your vision statement, but a true vision of where the organization is headed. And again, who's responsible for creating that vision of where the organization is headed. Your board and your chief executive together should know where we're taking this organization. So when we create a long-term vision, and I'm talking a 10-year vision in the future, and you may say, well, you just told me 10 years is too long. No, this is your big picture. Where are we trying to head? And that probably won't change much in, you know, at least in the 5-year horizon, but maybe even the 10-year horizon. But when you create a vision narrative or a vision script, it's also called, you think out 10 years from now, where do I want my organization to be? And what do I want it to look like? Who am I serving? How is my service area going to change? How is that geography maybe going to change? What are my products going to look like? How is the impact going to change? When you really think about what you want that to look like, that becomes like your GPS destination, right? Your destination on your roadmap. And then you can clearly craft a road that's going to get you there. Now, will it have bumps and curves and potholes? Absolutely. But at least you'll have the general direction of where you need to head to get to that to that destination, I call it. So I love now to teach and to work with my clients around facilitating first this vision narrative, which is the 10-year destination for the organization. And then right behind that, craft the strategic priorities that we need to focus on and the 2 to 3 year goals that are going to get us there. And then, you know, we come back and we revisit that every so often, but we're still always moving toward that destination.
Brilliant. David slipped in the word teach. Did you hear that?
I did. She's a clever gal.
Yeah. Well,
one of the questions that I have for you, and I'd like to drill in a little bit deeper in this vision-directed strategic planning process. Tell me a little bit how you interact with nonprofits or in their boards about creating that vision narrative. And is that narrative, it's a two-parter, is that narrative expressed publicly or is that an internal thing?
It's a great question. And it's really up to the organization. So let me answer that question first, and then I'll tell you how I work with clients on doing this. So in the last organization that I worked with, the vision narrative was so descriptive and so compelling that the organization did end up using it somewhat publicly. I would say they used it with donors. They used it certainly with their board. When I describe this to you, and I'd love to get into the questions that you ask your board to go, you know, to get to this vision narrative, it's several paragraphs long. And it's an easy to digest, but provides a great mental picture of what the organization is going to look like. So it becomes kind of a rallying cry for everyone who reads it because they see where you're headed. And then, you know, when you're asking them to work on a specific goal, it becomes even more clear why that is important to get to that destination. So it's really up to the organization, you know, how widely they share it. I would say in our organization, we didn't put it on the website, but again, we shared it pretty widely within our constituent groups and our stakeholder groups. Okay. So how do I get to this through this process with my clients? I generally facilitate a board retreat. And we talk through what we want the organization to look like. So it's the beginning of a strategic planning process. And I walk them through questions in about 10 different areas. And when you're ready, I can kind of share with you what those 10 areas are. And from that, then I either in that session or shortly thereafter, help them craft that compelling vision into, you know, a series of bullets, you know, short paragraphs.
Yeah, I want to hear those. But David, as we've discovered, and Jennifer, I studied facilitation 35 years ago. And so as a conductor, music conductor, that was second nature to me to get people to play into this. And, you know, I want to highlight what you said early on. A small group, maybe a consultant says, give me these answers and they write the plan for you. You've just cut off your board. You just cut them off the knees. They're not going to do anything. But if they're engaged in the planning now, it's the leaders and the top leaders of the board to focus on that vision. You know, what is our vision? And the other trap that you said is we've been taught, let's get a very clear vision statement, and then we do the strategy, and then we're in this track. We have to prove that it's right. But you know, when you go through the strategy, you get clarity. And so the direction, you know, the future visioning is what we call in facilitation. You've just said, here's what the future looks like. And you give people a permission to dream. And they don't know that they can, especially, you know, we're bound up by this word nonprofit and with scarcity thinking. So the kind of work you do is enabling people to be creative and to be dreamers and to think about possibilities. So that's brilliant. That's brilliant.
Yeah. Can I make two clarifications
yes,
too?
Yes, ma'am.
So the first is, and I just want to make sure it's really clear. I said I kind of write it for them. Well, what we do during the session is we're gaining consensus around the vision and the parts of the vision. What I may do later is wordsmith it so that it's a really pretty story and so that they can use it again and again, although, you know, they're certainly welcome to do that. But the consensus happens with the board in that room first.
That's brilliant. And you know, I'm smarter than I look. I figured that out. But thank you for clarifying that for people who didn't get it. You know, what you're doing is wordsmithing, which is you're hearing it and you're hearing it with fresh ears and eyes. And sometimes people are so close to it, it's hard for them to do that. But what you're doing is helping people think out of their box. And then you're able to put it together from what they've created, right?
That's correct. That's correct. And then the other thing, Hugh, that I really wanted to clarify, and I should have done this at the beginning, is we're all used to hearing about mission statements and vision statements. And vision statements, and what I'm talking about creating is not a vision statement. I call it a vision narrative, a vision script. You can call it whatever you want. The vision statement for the organization, which you may choose to continue to have, or you may adopt this vision narrative completely, vision statements tend to be short. And they're supposed to be aspirational, but there's no detail in them, right? So I'm going to share with you the vision statement of the last organization that I worked with. And it was, we envision a future where people live happy, healthier, more purposeful lives. That's a great vision statement, right? We were a senior living organization. And so it connected. Didn't give me any detail about where I'm headed, what I need to do to get there, right? And so that's the difference between a vision statement, which again, you can continue to have in your organization, and having a vision narrative.
Well, and as we approach it, there's a how-to, is the application of that is your mission. And you know, there's more than one right answer, and everybody that wrote a strategy book has their own pattern, but it doesn't matter. It matters that you clear. And you bring a lot of expertise, a lot of experience, and a lot of fresh thinking to this. So thank you for sharing a different paradigm. So before David goes back with his question, you mentioned 10 different components. Do you want to put those into the record real quick?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. So some of the questions that we ask are first and foremost about clients and service area. So who are they serving? Who is the nonprofit serving? How many clients or constituents or people will they serve, whatever that nomenclature is? And again, this is 10 years from now, right? So they may be serving 10,000, but in 10 years, they may want to be serving 80,000, right? So to kind of be clear about who will we be serving and will it shift? How many clients will we have in the year? Another area is customer acquisition. And again, this depends widely on the type of business it is, but how do people know about you? How do you identify them as someone you can serve? And will that change in the future? Certainly with digital marketing, for many organizations, that has changed. And will your online or technological presence need to change and how? And again, that's a little bit of forecasting because technology is moving probably quicker than my brain anyway. The next area is product and service mix. So what services or areas are you serving now? What programs do you have maybe, depending again on the nomenclature you use in your business? And do you see that shifting in the future? So if you had a new funding source or a new revenue opportunity, might you add a new program or a new service? And what is really the value proposition that you will be using in the future to bring your clients into your world?
Love it. And I want to remind people listening that you didn't take notes. Don't worry. It's going to be in the transcript, all those sound bites. So David, we've had people ask about, we've talked to people about team execution and they misunderstand the word execution that we're going to shoot people. There's a whole different paradigm, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and there's a few times over the course of my career that I actually wanted to do that, but
Not now.
far be it from me.
I do want to talk about execution when we get back, get into,
Well,
okay,
that was what I was going to tackle with you, is that you go through all of this work and you're building this narrative and your board is signed on and they're making all these, connections in their brain about what their common situation is, but how do you get them to then in execute that strategic plan while they're so busy fulfilling their mission?
Great, great question. Great question. May I? There's just a couple more questions, areas I wanted to share in the vision narrative, and I'll go quickly, and then we can maybe
Oh,
talk about
okay.
execution.
For
Yeah.
sure.
So some of the other areas, sales and revenue. What will your revenues look like? What is your profit margin 10 years in the future? Competitive advantage. What sets you apart from your competitors? What are you known for in your marketplace, or perhaps nationally or globally? Team, what will your team need to look like? So as your programs grow and the clients grow, you're going to have a different team composition. You might need more leadership positions as well. How will you attract and retain the top talent? What will your culture be like in the future? And then we just have a couple of more. Personal brand or company brand, how will you be known in your industry? What recognition will you have achieved as a company? Impact, how has your impact changed in terms of the number of people reached, served, impacted by donations? That could overlap a little bit with the client question, depending on your organization. And then the final one is operational efficiencies. So certainly as nonprofits, when we start, we tend to be pretty inefficient machines, but we know that to scale and to grow our impact, we need to be more operationally efficient and have more discipline. So, what improvements or innovations have you made or will you have made? Yeah, so those are my questions that I asked to get the boards thinking about
Got it.
that vision narrative.
Got it. Hugh, did you hear the word I heard? It's a word that's seldom used, but
Whoa.
profit is not a dirty word.
No.
It's critical to the success of the organization. But
Yeah.
I divert from my question for you, is that create ensuring that the organization executes on that plan. You want to touch on that for us?
Sure. So from that vision narrative, right, we've now created, we know where we're headed, and we've created some goals to start moving us toward that vision. And so then the key is a couple of things, in my opinion. First is visibility of that vision narrative with your entire team and everyone that supports you, including your board and your donors. Everybody understands where we're headed. And we have to not just show that once, we have to repeat that on a monthly basis. You know, every board meeting, we should be reading that story of where we're headed. And also, each time we meet as a leadership team, as a board, we should be reviewing those goals and the progress that we're making on them. And I love to use dashboards or scorecards where we can say, here's the goal, here's what we were supposed to achieve by when, and then a little stoplight color, red, green, yellow, to say, you know, are we on track? Are we delayed, or is the issue at risk? So dashboards, I think, are really important as well. So those are kind of the two key things. I guess the other thing I would say is that in organizations that have staff, I think tying everybody's performance, at least a portion of everyone's performance assessment, not just to their job description, but to the organizational goals is important. That's what I like to call it, cascading through the organization. If everybody has skin in the game and everybody clearly understands where we're headed and they're seeing those dashboards every time, every month, every time we meet, then we're all aligned on hitting those goals.
Oh, David, this is good stuff. We could spend all day. There's so many sub themes to all of these things. And really, Jennifer, we talked a little bit about how nonprofits are not making it to where they know they want to be, but they don't know how to get there. And you're just describing all the deficits people don't think they need. And there's no substitute for creating this infrastructure. So you use the word profit, use the word business. There's a business model. So it's not, we're not focused on the for-profit business. We're focused on the purpose of the business, which is philanthropy. We're transforming people's lives. So talk about sustainability and building the business model to create sustainability just a minute.
Yeah, well, it's a great question. So in the healthcare world, we used to say a lot, and you've probably heard it before, no margin, no mission, right? Nonprofit, the other thing I've heard is nonprofit is, you know, a corporate structure that you create under the IRS. It's not the goal, nonprofit, right? So we need our nonprofits to be profitable. And sometimes, believe me, in I've had to create services sometimes that met an unmet need in the community, that served an unmet need in the community. And the reason the need was unmet was because there wasn't an existing reimbursement source, right? So how do you fund that then? Well, in that case, we chose to fund it through philanthropy. Well, if your philanthropy isn't meeting the need for the expenses of that program, you have two options. One is you cut the program to fit the philanthropy that's available, or two, you have another program that actually has a margin that covers that. And those are the strategic decisions that I think nonprofit boards need to be making all the time, and making adjustments and pivots so that overall the organization is profitable. Sustainability is, and the other thing I will say is that I just mentioned operational inefficiencies, and nonprofits need to operate like for-profits in that they need to be agile. They need to move things like I was just discussing. They need to have operational discipline, right? So if we have a strategic plan and we know we're trying to do X, we need to have the operations in place, the productivity, the processes that gets us to that goal. And if we don't, it could be a process problem. It could be a people problem. And that's the other thing that I don't think nonprofits do well enough is hire slowly and fire quickly, right? I mean, and it's a touchy subject, but if we have somebody that doesn't have the skill to do their job, they need to be replaced.
And that applies to what we call volunteers as well. You know, we're reluctant to do that, but they're spoiling it for everybody. David, we got time for one more quick question on a big topic. So let's do that before I share the website.
Okay, quickly, and I don't want to tie up too much time, but what role does governance play in the organization's success beyond, you know, if you've got all of the stuff you've worked on, how do you work with governance then?
Great question. Well, first of all, they provide the strategic oversight. They provide the financial oversight of the organization, right? They're overseeing the work of the chief executive to make sure the chief executive is managing the business of the organization. So they're so important. And I think as nonprofits, sometimes we discount the value and the importance of the board, but they are truly the key to our competitive advantage. And so that's usually when I end up doing a strategic planning process with a board. There is, I can't honestly think of one in the past 3 years that I've done that hasn't had a strategic pillar of focus as strengthening governance. So it's always something that we should be striving to do. And I actually have a resource that I just created because I'm so passionate and I'm seeing this so frequently, and it's a nonprofit governance self-assessment. It's 25 questions, really quick to do, and you can get a score and kind of see where you're at. But it'll give you a clue about maybe some areas that your nonprofit can work on as it relates to your board structure and processes.
What a good segue. What a good
segue. Yeah, Hugh, that's...
Look at that.
Processes are in our circle here. Great.
This is, Jennifer, this is your website, and it's called peak2profit.com, peak2profit.com. So before I show them that page you just referred to, what will they find when they get to your website?
It's a description of the types of services. If you scroll on down that homepage, there's a description of services that we provide, some, of course, testimonials, what the Peak Method actually is. And then I actually host a podcast too, specifically in the senior living sector, which is where about 11 years of my work had been. But yeah, there's some freebies on the website, including the one that we just mentioned, and hope that might be helpful to nonprofits.
Take our self-assessment to find out how is your board performing. So now, I just want to tell people when we have similar things, people go in, they don't want to do it because they're going to be on our list, but they can unsubscribe if they don't want to be on your list, right?
100%. Yeah, it says we respect your privacy. I don't sell the list, and anybody can unsubscribe at any time.
Great. Well, and it's not a trick. It's this has been a wealth of information in this short 25-minute interview, and we could dig in for hours on any of these topics. And David, this is so in sync with what our whole vision for our tagline is: transforming leaders, transforming organizations, transforming lives. And that's your work. You're just helping people. What do you think, David?
Sounds spectacular. I really appreciate the time that you've taken with us and the tools that you're offering too. That's great, because I think every nonprofit needs to go through some exercise along what you have described. So thank you. You've been a very valuable asset to our community. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's been my pleasure.
Before we leave you, I'm going to give people a couple of links and come back. What's your final thought or challenge for people? You can find this episode with the others at thenonprofitexchange.org, T-H-E, nonprofitexchange.org. We have a private community for nonprofit leaders and faith leaders, people that are doing these kinds of things with resources, including this podcast and many workshops. You can find that at nonprofitcommunity.org, nonprofitcommunity.org. We're better together. And so even though we do similar work, Center Vision and Jennifer, we fully endorse you and support you. And it's just so valuable to have you on the Nonprofit Exchange today. What do you want to leave people with? The final thought.
Thank you. I would say, you know, what's become really evident to me is this focus on governance really can propel organizations further faster. I used to say that was strategic planning, and I still believe that, but because the board is charged with strategic planning, let's get your board in order first and make sure, again, you have that strength, that diversity, all the different skills and levels of expertise that you need for your organization. That the voice of the board is so important for a nonprofit's success and their competitive advantage. So that would be my final word for today.
Great.
Words of wisdom. Thank you, Jennifer Dragoff, for being our guest today on the Nonprofit Exchange.
Bye, Jennifer.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Nonprofit Exchange.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.